Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. We have, stand by a second. Okay, we have a few folks in the LAO today and nobody off net, so I believe we can call the meeting to order.
Okay, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order of the Alaska Redistricting Board. It's Saturday, April 9th at 12:06 p.m. Peter, if you could call the roll to establish that we have a quorum and everyone's present.
Member Banky?
I'm here.
Member Bromio?
Good morning. Afternoon. I'm here.
Member Markham?
Here.
And Member...
Here. Can you hear me? Okay.
Member Binkley, are you with us?
I'm here.
We have four members present and accounted for.
Okay, my understanding is that Member Simpson is on the line, able to listen as well.
Yes, Member Simpson is with us telephonically and able to listen to today's testimony. We have a number of folks.
Do you have a copy of the draft agenda, Peter, that you could put up?
Oh, yeah. Let me bring up the draft agenda first.
Okay, we have a copy before us of the draft agenda for today's meeting. Is there a discussion on the agenda, or can we look for a motion to adopt the agenda as presented?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the agenda. Member Markham.
This is Member Banky. I'll second that motion.
Motion before us and seconded to adopt the draft agenda as presented. Discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion to adopt the agenda is passed. The first item we have is public testimony. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify? I think, Peter, you indicated that nobody is on the off-net currently, but several people at the LIO. And if you could give me the order of those, I would appreciate it.
Sure. The first person who signed up today is Catherine McDonald. Catherine McDonald.
If you're there and could join us, we would appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
We can. It's helpful to speak directly into the microphone if you can. And fairly loudly. It's not bad, but
is this better?
Anything you can do to project would be helpful.
Is this better?
Is this better?
Actually, we've got a bit of an echo right now for some reason, at least on my audio. I'm hearing a reverberation.
I'm hearing it, Mr. Chairman.
Let me try again.
Hello.
I think they're attempting technical assistance.
We didn't have the feedback that time, oddly enough, so maybe it's resolved. We can hear you just fine that time, Kevin. Yep.
Is it better now?
Yeah, I think we fixed it.
Yeah, all right, that's it. You got it.
All right, wonderful. All right, thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Kathy McDonald, and I'm speaking for myself today. I've been an Anchorage resident for almost 3 decades. I've lived on Jay Bear. I've lived off South Muldoon, off Abbott, and now I'm currently a resident of a proposed District 9 on the Hillside. I wanted to summarize my history of written comments to the board over the course of the process to give context for the support of my proposed map. My first written comment was on September 18th. I noted the importance of providing Senate district hearings early to be able to provide public comment on feedback for one half of the legislature. Then, to be informed in the process, I took a shot at drawing the Anchorage maps, mostly using traffic corridors that I then submitted. I attempted to put myself in your shoes to understand the complexities and nuances of your work, balancing the constitutional requirements. It wasn't easy drawing a house map just for Anchorage, and I commend your work on drawing a full 48 district map that withstood legal challenges. My second written comment was on November 7th. I proposed Senate district pairings within Anchorage. That testimony didn't even include the two Eagle River districts of 24 and 22 because while part of the municipality, many individuals within Anchorage, myself, you know, even from a former Jay Bear family, consider them to be separate communities. On November 8th, the board for the first time began discussing Senate pairings within Anchorage. At 5 hours into the recording on November 8th, board member Markham, she was discussing her four proposed maps of the Senate district pairings within Anchorage and how each of her iterations contained joining District 24, Chugach to Eagle River with District 23, Jay Bear. Then the following conversation occurred around a different house pairing. Board member Markham stated, another commonality, I think, that is in all four of my maps, yes, is the pairing of the Hillside districts of Anchorage, Districts 9 and District 15. Please note for the record, that's the current District 11 in the renaming. Continuing on, board member Markham stated, that is South Anchorage. Those are considered the Hillside areas typically. So it is really important, I think, to restore that part of District 15 to the Hillside area. And I think we heard unanimous testimony today from all testifiers that were in favor of pairing District 9 and 15, to which the chairman replied, so fireworks? And board member Banky responded, fireworks. Board member Bromio said, can we lock that in before anyone changes their mind, going once, going twice, consensus, Mr. Chairman? To which the chairman responded, yes, we have consensus. The board continued discussing the Anchorage map, but couldn't reach consensus on most of the other pairings. The board went into hours of executive session that afternoon and the following morning. It's understandable then that a District 9 resident trying to be informed went to bed the night of November 8th, believing that the board had consensus on pairings of 9 and the now named 11. I noted as such in my written testimony on November 8th, applauding the board for proposing to pair my District 9 with the O'Malley District. Imagine my surprise when catching up on the hearings later to see in the video of November 9th meeting that the board emerged from an executive session to put a vote on the record with no justification given for Senate pairings for Anchorage, and that those pairings didn't even include the singular consensus of District 9 and the now named 11 that the board had agreed to the day before. In that plan, District 9 was paired with District 10 of Clatt area. While not aligned with the quote-unquote unanimous testimony of the public or the complete consensus of the board the day prior, Districts 9 and 10 both attend South Anchorage High School. They shop at Cars and Huffman. You can drive directly from one district to the other. At least it made sense, a second-ranked option to the prior unanimous rank one choice of Districts 9 and the now named 11. That brings us to where we are today with the two proposed maps. I provided written testimony on April 5th. Back when there were three maps for consideration, I ranked my order with support with justifications. In that testimony, I had supported map one first as a District 9 resident for the sole reason that it was the only map that paired Districts 9 and 11, which, as noted previously, was the singular point of agreement of the board on record. Becoming more educated on the issue in recent days, I've discovered that option one, while aligned with the Constitution in the terms of pairings as near as practical, it doesn't comport with the limited scope of authority of the court's remand. I applaud the board for removing it for consideration. In that same testimony, I contended that my secondary support was for map two and provided justification. Today, I'm here in support of map two. I understand that some members of the board may state that contiguity or touching is all that matters. If that is the case, then how could the courts have found that the pairings of Districts 22 of Eagle River and Districts 21 of South Muldoon are illegal as they also touch over the Chugach Mountains? It speaks to intent. To quote the opinion of political gerrymandering of the fragmentation of the Eagle River into two separate Senate districts to increase representation of the majority political party in the Alaska Senate, Therefore, intent can be shown first legally in ignoring the charge from the remand of the court, and second in spirit in ignoring the will of the citizen to come forward with testimony that includes socioeconomic linkages between communities. Not necessarily with the volume of that testimony, but with the content of it. I understand we all live busy lives, but if someone can't take time to articulate in a few sentences their justification and merely states, I support matter X, or submits a form letter, it really smells of political motives. So now, like my exercise in drawing the house map, I attempt to put myself again in your shoes. If I was a board member who held the belief, which I want to state for the record, I do not, that contiguity is all that matters and that the charge of the court is not to correct the fragmentation of Eagle River, but merely to avoid any verbal assertion of that political gerrymandering on the record in performing that gerrymander and fragmentation, I have to wonder why at this point, why anyone, public or board member, is having any discussions on socioeconomic linkages between districts preparing Senates. If one district is touching is all that matters, then both maps meet that criteria. Again, putting on my board member hat, I think that the court reprimanded my actions based on intent. I would be concerned that my actions, especially to pair Eagle River once more over a non-populated mountain range, would have at least the appearance of political gerrymandering to the court. Not only that, I would be concerned that by then selecting District 9 as the one to pair with the Eagle River District, I would again be showing intent of political gerrymandering. The J. Baron Chugach Eagle River pairing was in all four of Board Member Markham's maps, a characteristic that was also afforded to the Hillside and the O'Malley districts. What is so compelling in the J. Bear and Eagle River pairings that the board must maintain it at all costs, give little consternation in breaking the November 8th verbal consensus pairing the Hillside and O'Malley districts, not once to pair the Hillside with the Clatt district in the proclamation, but twice in remedying the finding of the court by selecting Map 3B. To attempt this political gerrymandering, the board has to resort to what must be considered the rank 3 option for pairings for District 9 in both the words and actions of the board to once again fragment Eagle River. We still live in the universe where the board member Markham used the words more representation in regards to that fragmentation. We still live in the universe where board member Baronio stated the chairman had told her that haven't you won enough and it was time for someone else to have a win in the process. I guess they naively assumed that this process would be as nonpartisan as possible to provide fair representation to every Alaskan. We still live in a universe where the interpretation of the courts are that those actions and other actions constitute an unconstitutional political gerrymander. Therefore, by continuing to insist on the fragmentation of Eagle River and the pairings of J-Bear and Eagle River at the expense of every surrounding district, one cannot help but be concerned that the political gerrymander may continue. I again implore the board to make their selection based on the ruling of fact and law and to help restore trust in our institutions. Thank you for taking my comment.
Thank you, Catherine. Questions for Catherine? Nicole?
Thank you, Catherine. I appreciate your testimony today. Peter,
this meeting is being recorded.
It's okay. Can you put up the route map, please? Let's explore the notion of contiguity a little bit more because you seem very well versed in the subject, and I appreciate your position as a now District 9 resident of Upper Hillside.
I live near Huffman.
Oh, you live near Huffman. Okay. Okay. Article 6, Section 6 of the Alaska Constitution requires the board to pair districts as contiguous as possible for the Senate pairings. And when I look at this map here that shows the main transportation routes from District 9 to District 22, it appears as though residents as far south as Whittier and Portage and Birdwood can take two different routes. The black is the new Seward Highway, and the red is Elmore to Lake Otis around the Muldoon curve and then on to the Glen Highway. How many districts, if you live where your house is, do you have to cross through to get to 22?
Sure.
So I live right near the New Seward Highway and Huffman, so right down further, so down more. So I would jump onto the frontage road. I would go around the Huffman roundabout. I would go down the Seward Highway all the way until when you reach the Glen Highway and continue on. So I don't know if you would count the yellow and the green as touching two or one, but let's just say it's one. So one, two, three. It looks like four, five, six to cross it. But I have family who lives at the top of Huffman, and so and family who lives in District 12. So I often do take the other route.
Thank you. One follow-up question, because you did touch a lot on the unconstitutional party gerrymandering that the court found the board guilty of in the Matthews decision that the Supreme Court unanimously upheld to. If we split Eagle River the first time around to get Eagle River more representation and hurt poor brown voters, but this time we're splitting Eagle River again to potentially hurt rich white voters, is the intent still the same no matter who you're hurting? So would it matter why we're splitting Eagle River if the reason to split Eagle River is for more representation of that community?
No, I wouldn't think it matters the characteristics of the individuals at all. As you noted, I think it matters, you know, fair representation for most people. And I just keep on, I'm confused by the notion that as long as it's contiguous, it meets the standard. If that really was what, if I was a board member and I really thought that, why would there have been any kind of discussion on any pairings anywhere throughout the state on pairings? If I really held that with, oh, it touches and that's good, okay, well then start in southeast of Alaska and do a random number generator as you combine all the things around. So it just seems odd that if I really held that view, I would hold it from the beginning instead of at the back end, now after I've been found to have intent of gerrymandering, that I then use that to try and gerrymander more skillfully.
Is that your baby in the back of the room?
No, that is my sister's baby. I have three children, and right now they're all under the age of four, and so they're being watched by my grandparents.
Well, I note that Miss McDonald's nephew is in the room. He's 4 months old, and what a fantastic exposure to the public hearing process watching his aunt kick things off today. Thank you. I'm done.
All right. Thank you very much.
Catherine, I don't know.
Excuse me, Catherine. I think Bethany, Member Markham has a question. I was calling on Bethany.
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry.
Thank you, Member Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I just wanted to assure Ms. McDonald as well as other listeners that, in fact, I did have the pairing that I'm presenting now is one of many pairings that I put together at the time. The ones that I chose to produce in the open meeting were because of consensus that other members have. So we were trying to move toward consensus. And so those are the ones I decided to put forward, but I certainly had worked on multiple other options, including the ones that I'm putting forward today. So thank you.
Okay, further questions, comments? Okay, thank you again, Catherine.
Thank you.
Denny Wells in the LAO office. Good afternoon, Denny.
As Benny makes his way up, I do have a follow-up question to what Bethany just said, because that's new information to me that you had other pairings. Were any of your other Senate pairings that you had explored going to pair the two Eagle River districts?
Hello. Yes, Member Bromio, yes, I paired Eagle River with Chugiak and Peters Creek together. I paired a variety of options, so, and I moved forward with the ones that I thought made the most sense based upon the guidance we've been given. Thank you. Mr. Wells, looking forward to hearing from you.
Some graphics you sent out, I was able to see those, and I don't know if Peter's able to get them on the screen or not for the other members, and I don't know if we've all gotten those, but Peter, were you able to get those on the screen?
He is nodding yes.
Oh, perfect. Okay, great. Okay, we can see those, Demi, so go ahead and proceed. It looks like there's three of them.
They're numbered. So the O line is the first one I want. Okay.
Yeah, Gidderod one first.
Yeah. And I'll get there in just a moment. So as the board approaches the end of this initial round of Senate pairing testimony, I would like to focus in on what the court directed and the realities of the shared boundaries in the House districts. In creating the House districts, you were constrained by the number 18,335. That was your target number of residents per district. In the urban core of Anchorage, that number was small enough that it necessitated many neighborhood splitting districts. You did your best to make those neighborhood divisions rational and equitable. Now with Senate pairings, you have the opportunity to pair some of those communities that you divided in the House districts. In decades past, this chore has been a challenge because the population of the municipality of Anchorage did not divide neatly into an even number of House seats. This year, you are lucky. With a small addition of Whittier, the municipality of Anchorage divides neatly into 16 House seats. Further, the Chugiak Eagle River area fit neatly into 2 House seats. This gives you the maximum possible opportunity to bring communities back together with your Senate pairings. Future boards may not be so lucky and may again need to pair Chugiak or South Anchorage with some community outside the municipality, or Eagle River may grow so large that they need 3 House seats and will necessarily be divided again in the Senate. But today you are lucky. With the 2020 census data, you have no need to divide Eagle River or South Anchorage, nor need to pair one of them with another community. The Superior Court said, quote, Senate K pairs 2 districts that, while contiguous in the strict definition of the word, ignore communities of interest in Eagle River and Muldoon, end quote. The court further stated, quote, the court sees the Senate districts ignore the Muldoon and Eagle River communities of interest with very little justification, end quote. The court specifically reviewed your arguments and laid them out in their brief, the ones you are still making today, that there is a J-Bear connection to Eagle River and that the mountains make contiguity. And still they found they were, quote, very little justification, end quote, for splitting both Eagle River and Muldoon. So what can you do? What communities are split by your House districts that you could put together in the Senate pairings? Both of the plans on the table put Muldoon together. So let's start with downtown Anchorage. You split downtown Anchorage along 4th Avenue. If we could put the image up, that would be great. You split downtown Anchorage along 4th Avenue. This is the traditional start line of the Iditarod and the Ferrandi. This is the home of my favorite Anchorage camera shop. For several years, I lived right on the boundary of this district at 315 Barrow Street. I definitely lived downtown. The opposite commute and the ability to easily walk to community events was great. The two ends of the chain in holding up that Iditarod sign should be in the same Senate district. District 23 is comprised of 10,832 residents of Jaeger and 7,191 residents of Anchorage. 2,389 of those Anchorage residents are in Muldoon, the remainder in downtown on Government Hill. If any place in Anchorage constitutes a community of interest, it is downtown, the heart of the city. You'd pair downtown with downtown. Now let's consider Eagle River. You split Eagle River along the Glen Highway, Old Glen Highway, Eagle River Road, and Eagle River Road, but you also split along a residential street in Eagle River, War Admiral Road. I've shot listing photos of houses on this road. It is a small neighborhood road where people definitely know their neighbors. The neighbors in this picture should be in the same Senate district. In conversation with a community member at public testimony yesterday, Board Member Markham stated, there's only one Eagle River House seat. The other seat is Chugiak, Peters Creek, and Jaeger. This is factually inaccurate. District 24 has 7,586 residents of the Eagle River and Eagle River Valley Community Councils, including the residents on the left side of the previous image. That's 33% of the total population of the Eagle River Community Councils. The Eagle River Cars, Eagle River Fred Meyer, and Eagle River Business Boulevard are all in District 24. This is most definitely a second Eagle River seat. The claim that District 24 is a district of J-Bear is true only in the most obscure academic sense. District 24 includes a small portion of J-Bear. But this portion of J-Bear has exactly zero population, except in precisely one census block. And ideally, if you can put that up on the screen. That block appears to be noise from the Census Bureau's anonymization efforts. This is the block outlined in red. It was founded by Eagle River, the squiggly line on the upper right, by the inlet above, and by Otter Lake down to the south. That block has a stated population of 197 people, but no visible infrastructure in which those people might live. Further anomalies in that block, and the data for that block includes that the population is 100% adult, and that it is 38.6% white versus 74% adult and 59% white for the rest of JBEAR. In my map drawing of the Anchorage Assembly seats, I spotted several anomalous census blocks like this in the Anchorage poll. The most obvious was a block that covered the Hickel/Minnesota Parkway, depending what name you want to apply to it, between International Airport and Raspberry Roads. It is not a census block that encompasses surrounding land, just the road itself, yet it has a population of 19. While state statute Article 2, Section 15.10.200B precludes you from adjusting census numbers in your work, it does not preclude you from putting the census numbers in context. The context in this case is that District 24 is only a JBEAR district in as much as it has a single census block with a population of 197, which appears to be anomalous. In all likelihood, there will be no one living on JBEAR who will be able to provide the state an address that places them in District 24. I have heard that the District 23 and 24 pairing justified because Eagle River and Chugiak have a strong military connection. Anecdotally, I agree. I shoot a lot of homes of military officers in Eagle River. Also anecdotally, I shoot a lot of homes of military families in Anchorage. On Thursday, while we were hearing public testimony here, I shot one at each. I currently have military tenants in my duplex in Muldoon. I've had military tenants in my triplex in Sand Lake. Those people are all represented where they live. I've heard the concern that demographically and socially, JBEAR is more similar to Chugiak Eagle River than downtown. There are two problems with this argument. First, it ignores the 7,200 residents of District 23 who live in downtown and Muldoon. Those residents unequivocally have more in common with downtown than Eagle River and Chugiak. They live in houses that are smaller, on older lots, on smaller lots. They're on city water and sewer, city-maintained roads. The parts of downtown and Muldoon inside District 23 are only 40% white. District 17 is 51% white. And District 24 is 73% white. The downtown and Muldoon parts of District 23 are absolutely more similar to the population of District 17 downtown than District 24. The JBEAR part of District 23 is 59% white. Again, 59 is closer to District 17's 51% white than District 24's 73% white. As a whole, the District 23 is 52% white. Taking a minority population like that and burying it in a 73% white district when there are other good available options is a classic sign of a racial gerrymander. The concern that JBEAR is more similar to Chugiak Eagle River when it is demographically not so seems a weak justification for splitting established communities like downtown and Eagle River. I've heard that the District 20, 22 and 9 pairing justified because both districts have rural road service, wells, and septic, and they share a long continuous border along the mountains. These exact same justifications also support pairing the Eagle River districts 22 and 24. Districts 22 and 24 both have many houses with wells and septic. They share a long contiguous border, and they share a long contiguous border to the mountains. But the District 22 and 24 connection is even stronger because they not only share the concept of a road service area, they share the exact same road service area. I've also heard arguments that the pairings in 3D are justified due to the ship-free hunting area. This is a really tenuous claim for three reasons. One, people from all over the state can apply for the hunt. Two, this hunt area is entirely contained in District 22. And three, if you're relying on the constitutional verbiage that drainages justify Senate pairing, the ship-free drainage would support pairing Districts 22 and 23 rather than 23 and 24. In fact, if you're using drainages for justification, Districts 22 and 24 certainly belong together due to their sharing of the Eagle River drainage. In the end, you have House districts that divide communities by necessity, and Senate districts that can pair those communities. Imagine if we were discussing pairings in my old hometown of Fairbanks. Imagine you drew House districts, which divided downtown Fairbanks along the classic Open North American start line on 2nd Avenue. You would want to pair those two House districts into one Senate district, if you could. Or imagine we were discussing hearings in Nome, and you had house seats that divided down Front Street where the Edgar Gerald Arch lies. You would tear those house districts into one Senate district if you could. Or imagine we were discussing Juneau, and you had house districts that divided along North and South Franklin Street. You would tear those house districts into one Senate district if you could. You have an option on the table that clearly corrects the error the court saw in splitting Eagle River and Muldoon. It puts together clear neighborhoods. It brings Muldoon together. It brings neighbors on War Admiral Street and Eagle River together. It puts the ends of the chain holding the Iditarod sign on 4th Avenue into one district. You should adopt Senate hearings map number 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Denny. Melanie, you've got a question for Denny?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Wells, for your testimony. Peter, can you get that, I think it was his, the map, an aerial?
Aerial photo.
Back up on the screen, I have a question about that. So when I think about these house districts and in terms of a Venn diagram, looking at Eagle River and Eagle River have significant overlap in terms of the contiguous and all the other things. So those two in my mind have the most connectivity. And then 22 and 29 have some, partially, and then 24 and 23 have some. Together. But are you saying, in my mind, if this was a Venn diagram, that between 24 and 23, Eagle River and Jay Bear, the part in my mind that's the Venn diagram connecting them, a little sliver, is this unpopulated, well, no structures, right? No homes?
Right.
Is that, am I getting that?
Yes, Jay Bear extends a little further north of Eagle River here, but all of the census blocks that are on Jay Bear and north of this of Eagle River, the river, all of those are vacant census blocks. The only census block that is in District 24 as drawn right now with a population that is on Jay Bear is the one that is drawn with the red line here, and your boundary between districts 23 and 24 follow the westernmost line here and the southern edge of this census plot.
All right. Thank you very much for explaining that to me.
Thank you, Melanie. Any other questions for Denny? Okay. Next, we have, I believe, off-net Jason Warfield.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Jason, go ahead. Good afternoon. We can
have a thank you. So my name is Jason Warfield. I've lived in Anchorage a little over 40 years. First, I'd like to thank you all for your service to the community. You have a tough job, and I know how challenging it can be to, and thankless for that matter, to be on a volunteer-appointed board. Thankfully, this only has to happen, every decade. Next, I'd like to speak briefly about redistricting and specifically Map 3B. There seems to be a lot of pushback joining Districts 22 and 9, and some point to the fact that the Hillside just spoke out against it, the Municipal Reapportionment Committee was making that case and taking part of the Hillside and throwing it into Municipal District 2. In a nutshell, this is why it's completely different. Throwing a portion of District 6, about 12,000 people in the Municipal District 2 would cause them to be far underrepresented due to the population disparity. I don't have the population numbers in front of me, but I know it wouldn't be an equal pairing. In Map 3B, the district pairings, while not optimal, nobody likes change, represent the most fair map on the table, in my opinion. The two districts share a 35-mile border and are demographically similar. This is the argument that was made by the Municipal Reapportionment Committee, when they were trying to put 6 and 2. The glaring differences in pairing these two similar districts is that both have a very similar population and would be equally represented by their state senator. This map also puts Jay Bear with Eagle River, the Eagle River District, instead of lumping it in downtown. And while this is purely anecdotal, I spent decades in the automotive industry here in Anchorage, and the vast majority of our military clients lived in Eagle River or on the base itself and not in the downtown district. What is not anecdotal is that the majority that a majority of middle and high school children from the bases attend schools in Eagle River and not downtown. In closing, you know, I respectfully request that you support Map 3B, and thank you again for your service to the community.
Okay, thank you, Jason. Questions? Melanie, you got a question for Jason?
Yeah, thank you, Jason, for your testimony. I was confused because you were talking about District 6 and 2. Are these districts from the municipal reapportionment that you're referring to?
That's right. Yeah, District 6 is South Anchorage, and District 2 is Eagle River.
Okay. All right, thank you for that clarification.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Jason. As I look at the testimony, a lot of it has been coming in related to the municipality's reapportionment process, and while that is not mandatory authority for us to follow, it is persuasive. The weight of the evidence, though, was very much for keeping Eagle River and Anchorage, South Anchorage, separate. Of course, that's not what our job here is. Our job is very limited to look at the Constitution. The Constitution in Article 6, Section 6 says that we need to pair the most contiguous as practicable districts. But that aside, assuming that we didn't have the Constitution to follow, which we do and I intend to, well, how do we square the weight of the evidence in the municipality's process from what seems to be a contradictory approach now?
Well, the municipality was making the argument that, you know, the argument that that they were contiguous, that they had a similar demographic, and that's all correct. What they weren't taking into account, and I live on the hillside, what they weren't taking into account is throwing 12,000, taking 12,000 people out of District 6 and throwing them into District 2. There would be a massive underrepresentation, where this is completely different. You're taking two house districts that are equal in population, roughly. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but you have equal representation. And the city made the argument already that they're similar in demographic and they're contiguous and they share a huge border. So it wasn't that the city was wrong in saying that they were contiguous and that they were demographically similar. It's the fact of taking 12,000 hillsiders and throwing them into a district where they would be basically completely underrepresented. They would never ever have equal representation as the district they were going into, as the majority of the people in the district.
Thank you.
Okay, Bethany. I think you're still on mute.
Yep. Can you hear me? Yep.
Yep, we can hear you now.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Warfield. We did hear this, the last testifier of the day yesterday raised this point, which was a very interesting point. So I just wanted to give you the same information that we gave to her and put it on the record, that we did take a look. Peter brought them up yesterday during the hearing. I'm sorry, was that yesterday? Yeah, I guess it was. It seems like it's been a long time ago. District 9 has population of 18,284. That's the South Hillside District. And then District 24, the Eagle River District, has population of 18,205. So they're both within they're both 18,200 approximately. So your presumption is correct in the sense that these districts are essentially the same in terms of representation. So thank you for that.
Right, I appreciate that, and you know, while nobody likes change, you know, in my humble opinion, this map is the fairest map on the table right now, and that's why I urge you all to support it, please.
Nicole, do you have another question?
I do. One follow-up question, because, Jason, I'm not sure if you've been following the litigation process or not, but the Supreme Court upheld the Superior Court's determination that the three-member majority was unconstitutionally partisan gerrymandering, which in my mind is the exact opposite of fairness, and option B continues to split Eagle River. So, again, looking for guidance on how you square what's been deemed as unfair already and unconstitutional with the proposal.
I just disagree with it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hey, one quick question, just so I understand it, Jason. And I have not followed the municipal redistricting process, but what you're saying is the municipality had suggested that Hillside and Eagle River be combined into one assembly seat or assembly district?
No, what they were proposing is taking a portion of District 6, the Mid Hillside, and throwing it into District 2. So it, you know, you're basically taking, you know, a disproportionate amount of people who would end up being underrepresented, obviously. Not combining the districts, but just taking a small portion of the district and throwing it into District 6 in order to, I don't know, reach whatever population they needed to have in each district. So they were basically cutting the districts up. But the argument they made was that these districts are similar in demographics and, you know, share a border, and they were right about all those things. The thing that wasn't correct is the fact that, you know, it wasn't an equal pairing, not like what this would end up being with 9 and 22. You know, there, as one of the board members said, you basically have 18,000 people in each, roughly, in each district that are going to be represented by a senator. That'll be equal representation. What the city was trying to do was not that. Let's just carve out a small portion.
I see. So I think I follow that. So I know there was a lot of criticism of people who supported pairing those in our process because they had testified to something that may have been different or was perceived to be different during the assembly process. But what you're saying, it really wasn't because of contiguity or socioeconomic closeness. It was really an imbalance in the populations or the representation.
That's right. That's in my humble opinion, that's the difference here. You know, the city, the reapportionment committee made the points, and you're absolutely right. There was a lot of Hillside people that pushed against it. And you know, in a perfect world, yes, we all have districts that are side by side. And are joined, but you know, in my opinion, this map is the fairest map on the table, and I'm not concerned with underrepresentation like I was when the city was recommending taking 12,000 people off the Hillside and throwing them into Eagle River, because we have two districts that are going to have a similar amount of population that are going to be represented by a senator. And you know, go back and look at the city. They made it laid out a clear case that the demographics are very, very similar. That the they're contiguous. They share a huge border. I think it's 35 miles. This map also, once again, keeps Jay Bear with Eagle River, which is, you know, once again, it's the right thing to do.
Okay, thank you, Jason. That was very helpful, that explanation, because as I mentioned, I did not follow the municipality proceedings or process. Nicole, do you have another question?
Hang on just a second.
I see a hand up here. Yep, Jason, if you could bear with us, Nicole's got another question.
Okay.
I don't actually have a question for Jason. So he can, if he's got other things to do, he's willing to, or he's able to
pursue those, but if not, he can stay on the line. I just wanted to refer you, Don, for purposes of easy review to the letter from Chris Constant, dated the 5th of April, because I don't believe that Jason correctly summarized the testimony from other Anchorage residents regarding the pairing. It wasn't due to the disproportionality in the numbers. It was a lot of objection to them being prepared for socioeconomic reasons, et cetera. But the packet there is in our material, and maybe Peter would be so kind to just pull it out separately and circulate it to the board so we all have it, because that's the actual testimony versus someone else's interpretation of the testimony. Thank you.
The person who testified, Jason, he's got his opinion, and that's what he stated it was, just that, his opinion. So I think we can all respect that and any education.
But you know me, John. I'm a stickler for the law. I'm a stickler for not interpreting other people's testimony.
Nicole?
So just be sure to please read what they say, not what others have opined that they've said.
Thank you very much, Nicole. But and please don't interrupt. It is instructive to me, and the gentleman indicated that it was his opinion. And only that, and I think we should respect people's opinion, even though we may not agree with them. Bethany, you've got your hand up.
Hey, Bethany, I'm sorry here. Can I interject really quick to finish the conversation with John here?
It's up to the chairman.
Thank you very much.
You recognize me.
Bethany, go ahead, and then Nicole, if you've got a follow-up question, you can have it afterwards. Go ahead, Bethany.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Warfield, are you still on?
I am still here.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to ask a follow-up question. So there might have been some misinterpretation of what you said. So my understanding of what you said, you were not the arguments for you were talking about the fact that people from the public were opposing it, but you were stating that the arguments for pairing Eagle River with South Anchorage were put forward by the Muni, by the reapportionment committee, right? That's what you're referring us to. Is that, am I correct in understanding that?
Yeah, that's correct. Now there are people that are my neighbors that disagreed with that and said, and I don't know which board member was talking. I'm looking at a screen of the people in the gallery right now, so I don't know who was talking and who said whatever they said about what I said. But what I said is the municipality made the argument that, you know, these are contiguous, that these are demographically similar. That's why these people shouldn't have a problem going into Eagle River. And that wasn't my concern. My concern is not that. My concern is underrepresentation. My concern is if you take, a small group of people that are, and throw them into a larger group of people, they're not necessarily going to be represented equally. Whereas if you pair two of these, according to the municipality, you pair two of these districts together that are demographically similar and contiguous and share a huge border, and they're of equal population, they each have their own state representation, and they share a senator, it seems incredibly fair to me. Now, is it optimum? Would I like to have my district, my districts side by side, all laid out like a grid? Yeah, of course. Would I not like to have a mountain range there? Yeah. But once again, I'm going to say this, and I'm just a simple guy. I'm just a simple citizen. I'm not some scholar or some legal expert, but it's the simplest, fairest map on the table. And I really would say that I would respectfully request that you support it. I think that nobody likes change, but we've got to do this every 10 years, and I think that it's the right map. But yes, you're correct. Some people argued that these aren't contiguous. Some people argued that, I don't care if we're demographically similar, but my argument would be that, that they would be underrepresented if they were thrown into that district. It has nothing to do with any of the other things. The city made the argument that they were demographically similar and that they were contiguous and shared a border.
Thank you, Mr. Warfield. I appreciate you clarifying that.
Thank you. Nicole, then Melanie.
Thanks. I just want to correct the record that I was not disputing what Mr. Warfield was testifying to, but rather John's interpretation of what he was testifying to. And I wanted to make sure that John knew about the letter from the 5th and that he could refer to it later. Thank you.
I have seen the letter and read it. I think it came to us probably that same day that Peter let him out. So you're welcome. Melanie?
Yeah, it's not a question to the testifier. It's a question for Peter. The testifier just said that he can't see who's speaking. So for those who can't see who's speaking, this is Melanie. Are we able to, you see, I'm looking behind Nicole and I see the public, but are we able to do speaker view so that people can see who's speaking? I just see, I think that got corrected. Is that the case now?
I don't know if I'm still on, but whatever happened when you started speaking, I could just see you all of a sudden. So I was looking at the gallery before, and whoever is controlling the video just allowed me to see you for the first time.
Okay. I think we've changed it to speaker view, so hopefully that will help the public.
Yeah, thank you, Melanie, and thanks for pointing that out, Jason. Any other questions for Jason? Thank you very much. You've been very patient, and we appreciate you coming forward and testifying.
All right. Well, like I said, thank you for all your work on these tough topics. So, thank you.
You bet. Next that I show, and I hope I've got this right, it's Queen Parker, I believe, from Sterling.
Yes. This is Queen Rita Parker.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I live in Sterling, and I'm speaking for myself. I'm still with the fellow from Hillside. I would just, for the board, I would like you to vote for the compromise pairing in the map 3B, and it would just be just and fair for all residents, which should make the board proud. I urge the board to support 3B for fair, continuous pairing that is not just one-sided because you put angry voters first rather than special interests. And I thank you for your time, and I have to go, but bless you all.
Thanks.
Thank you. Do you have time for any questions from Ms. Parker? Okay, thank you. Peter, who's next there? Is there somebody in the LIO that signed up?
Laura Bonner, who's in Anchorage, but off net, she's been signed up since for quite a while. Laura Bonner.
Laura, are you on?
I think I am. Can you hear me? Oh, I see it coming up on the
screen. Yes, we can.
All right. I live in South Anchorage, and I didn't realize until this morning that it was only the two maps that were that you were deciding on. And I guess, to me, the most logical map was to pair the two House districts in Eagle River together in the same Senate district, and to keep Girdwood in the South Anchorage district, since the only proximity to Eagle River Valley is through a mountain path that can only be crossed by foot, weather permitting, and of course the season. Pairing Eagle River with Anchorage Hillside is illogical when Eklutna is closer. And I couldn't tell where the line was there. Haven't studied the redistricting process as much as some of the previous speakers have. But keep Eagle River with other in Eagle River area. And East Anchorage, you think East Anchorage, Anchorage Hillside and Girdwood with South Anchorage, and Anchorage downtown with Anchorage downtown. That's the most logical pairing for the Senate. It's nice to have a senator that I would like to be in the – I live in Lower Hillside, and I would rather be paired with my neighbors that are live above me. And I know of no one in Girdwood that lived there that they drive to Eagle River. So their interests are completely different. So I think that it may be map two that I support, but I can't tell. It's really difficult to see what the streets are when I go to your website. So I just think that South Anchorage should be paired with Anchorage, and Eagle River should be paired with Eagle River. Eklutna is a lot closer, and it's connected by the road system. Anyway, that's my comments.
Hey, thank you, Lauren. I think it is confusing. We apologize for that. The process is moving fairly quickly, and things have changed over time. But I think given the context of your testimony, Map 2 is the one that you would be supporting. It really comports with what the content of your testimony was.
Thank you. I do appreciate the complexity that you have had to deal with. But, yeah, thanks.
Well, we appreciate you calling in and testifying, and we do, if you would be kind enough to entertain a question. We have a question from one of the members. Member Banky, Melanie?
Yeah, again, it's not a question to the testifier, just an observation. In the chat box here, we've got a member of the public saying, I would like to testify. Peter, can you announce the way that people can call and testify so that people who are thinking that they can testify to Zoom know that they actually have to call into a different number? Thank you.
Sure. So I've chatted back.
Okay. It looks like I saw a number just came up on something on the screen. So I assume that's the number that's given to dial in. Melanie?
Yeah.
Yes. So thank you, Peter, for putting it in the chat box. For those who are listening and want to call in, the number is 907-563-9085. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, back to the LIO office, Yarrow Silvers. Yarrow, join us, please. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Yarrow Silvers. I would like to respond to various comments and characterizations that I've heard over the past week. First, I want to discuss this idea that I've heard that Map 2 is partisan. I introduced this map, which was arrived at by the East Anchorage plaintiffs with the benefit of legal counsel, who advised us that the approach of pairing Muldoon, pairing Eagle River, and then pairing the districts that were left unpaired was the method that most closely followed the remand order from the court, which had ruled that the splitting of Eagle River in order to increase their representation at the expense of muffling the voices of East Anchorage residents was a partisan gerrymander violating equal protection. No partisan data nor incumbent information was accessed, nor do I care to access it. Other than my own representatives in 21, I have no idea where any incumbent lives, nor what districts they represent for the vast majority of them. It is, however, a known fact that both independent makers of Map 3B, Ms. Markham and Mr. Rudrick, have looked at political and incumbent information during the mapping process. By contrast, the pairings for Map 2 were based solely on logic, reason, pairing like communities, and the constitutional as well as the remand requirements. In fact, I bucked the trend of a majority of the testimony which favored Map 1 to introduce Map 2, which the ADN has quoted Kathy Geisel, who appointed John Binkley to the redistricting board, by the way, as stating, was a very elegant solution and one that she prefers. I believe that the majority of support and testimony backs up the nonpartisan and inherently fair nature of this map, which indeed has had broad bipartisan support. I've heard well-reasoned and passionate testimony detailing in clear terms why Map 3B is irrational, from HALO, Girdwood Board of Supervisors, Rabbit Creek Community Council, Sean Murphy of Eagle Exit, Lloyd Thurman, Randy Phillips, and many others, all of whom aren't obviously not partisan left-wing organizations or individuals. By contrast, the majority of the testimony favoring Map 3 is based on partisan considerations, number of Republican Senate seats, specific incumbents, do it because you can, or one-liners based on no reasoning at all. Despite the quick time frame of this process, we have the benefit of mounds of testimony against the same pairing in the municipal process. And yet, Mr. Binkley has indicated that all this testimony should be discounted because the numbers and considerations are different. And I ask, what numbers, what considerations are different other than the clearly partisan ones? The false contiguity, distance, broken communities, and lack of commonality are all the same. The one thing that is different is that the lowest deviations were sacrificed in order to use meaningful contiguity in the municipal districts, which resulted in a municipal map with deviations of 5% and where Eagle River was underpopulated by several thousand people. While it was originally believed by the map makers that South Anchorage and Eagle River had socioeconomic connections, South Anchorage and Eagle River residents were quick to correct this impression, and the municipality listened. I also want to point out that this same compromise of deviations will not be required here. In the municipal maps, population was being added to Eagle River to equalize the population. In this process here, Eagle River is being split despite having enough population for one Senate seat. I believe strongly in an inherently honest, ethical, and fair process that hews closely to the Constitution, and I believe that most people want effective, local representation that reflects their unique communities regardless of their political affiliation, and Map 2 reflects that. If this board instead chooses a map that does not provide these things and that must use second-rate or false contiguity for pairings, then the burden of proof falls on them to show why a more rational and constitutional map is not possible. Now, let's have a quick review of the justifications that I've heard for the unconstitutional Map 3B. Some are, quite frankly, beyond ridiculous. I heard yesterday that District 23 was actually not Eagle River. Well, pulling up the map, I clearly saw that, yes, District 23 does include the northern part of Eagle River, including parts of its business district. Come on now, let's be honest, please. Eagle River is literally cleaved in half, and the only justification for that is an attempt at a false narrative? This is ridiculous. I've heard that South Anchorage and Eagle River share the longest border. I would like to ask the board to now consider how long the populated area along that border is as compared to the unpopulated area, which Bud Simpson referred to as basically a fiction in reference to another part of the map. That number is not one single inch of populated area, and Bud's sentiment holds true here as well. Even if it is possible to pair 9 and 22 just because they touch, it is wholly irrational to pair them when there is a pairing available that has meaningful contiguity. Some people have said in reference to J-Bear and Eagle River that like communities should be paired together, while obtusely ignoring that the like communities of downtown, Eagle River, and South Anchorage have to be split apart to accommodate this false vision of J-Bear. Let's not forget that J-Bear is integrated heavily into all the municipality, including Government Hill and downtown. In fact, there is a Government Hill gate that is used by the majority of service members that utilize the Elmendorf half of the joint base. Let's also not forget that service members who live off base are already represented in their community of residence, while those living on base are most strongly connected to the communities within Anchorage proper outside their respective gates, not far away north Eagle River. This supposed justification falls flat in the face of reality. Some say it's been done historically. That doesn't make it the right choice for today. And in fact, one of the legislators that represented one of these past districts has testified about the irrationality of pairing 9 and 22. The rest of the justifications for Map 3B I have heard are mostly based on partisan considerations, which I briefly mentioned earlier, but will not spend any time refuting due to the simple fact that partisan considerations are not permitted in our Alaska State Constitution. I just want to close with this. I feel relieved that through the legal remedy, East Anchorage residents have received their voice back. However, I feel deep regret that in repairing one wrong, some members of this board seem tempted to simply shift the burden of harm and silence to another community. I implore this board to stop wasting time and money fighting for maps that you know to be unconstitutional and to choose to do the right thing instead. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I might mention, I appreciate that, and if for some reason you thought that I said that it doesn't matter what numbers people are testifying to, I might have misspoke, Yaro, or maybe it's a misunderstanding, but every bit of public testimony is important. I listen to it as all board members do, and we try and help if there's some confusion on the numbers, but at any rate, just wanted to clear that up. And also, I would note for not only member people who are calling in or they're in person, but also for board members, there's quite a queue of people that are waiting to testify, and if we could try and keep the testimony to 3 minutes, that would be helpful so that everybody has an opportunity. And also for board members ourselves, too, if we could try and keep our questions short. With that, Melanie, you've got a question?
I was just going to thank Yaro for her continued testimony. I know she's been very engaged since we started the process, I think. I know it must feel like we're in the movie Groundhog Day for some of us, but I appreciate your continued involvement.
Thank you.
Thank you, Yaro. Next in the queue, we've got Senator Holland. Senator Holland, are you still on?
Yes, I guess you can hear me, correct?
We can. Good afternoon. Go ahead, please.
Hello, this is Roger Holland, Alaska State Senator, District N. Currently, I'm in my office in Juneau, but I reside in South Anchorage. I've been an Anchorage resident for 13 years. I tell you honestly, the first speaker, Catherine, embodied everything that I wanted to hear, except for the last speaker before me. I believe her name was Joan. She was a great cleanup hitter right there. I do believe Map 3B will probably have constitutional problems. I am in support of Map Number 2. I'll try to keep my comments to 3 minutes, but I saw challenges when I first was campaigning in District N, which was 27 and 28. 27 is the Muldoon Curve, 28 is South Anchorage. They're very different family types there, and different needs, it became clearly evident to me during the CAPSIS proposals that we were working on just recently. Everything in Muldoon was very big ticket, intersection problems, very expensive, lots of concrete work. And everything in District 28 was pretty much a lot of small. I mean, the typical project in District 27 was millions of dollars. The typical project in District 28 was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's important to me as a senator who has to represent both of them. You try to balance your representation, but you worry about, just not being able to, if you push something in 27 too hard, that could literally break the bank, while the District 28, these smaller, more numerous smaller projects don't get covered. I think the idea that there's a 33-mile contiguous border between Eagle River and South Anchorage, as in Map 3B, that border might as well be the Berlin Wall for being impassable. I understand the let's just read the Constitution and if it says contiguous, but I do believe they indicate contiguous by meaning access and flow, and there is absolutely no flow of trade, commerce, or anything between Eagle River and South Anchorage. I believe the Map Number 2 pairings, I thought, what a great pairing. It really resolved in my mind a lot of the complications I had seen in District N. And then I was saddened to see Map 3B raise its head. There is a reason to have discontiguous parts of a district. For instance, having Cordova, Valdez, and Whittier all in the same district. Well, they're all port communities. But I really appreciated the opportunity to have Whittier added to District N. I am a regular. I go down to Whittier at least every other week or so during the summer. And I thought it was a great chance to increase the representation. As a senator, having to represent Eagle River and South Anchorage, there are challenges to be present and be a meaningful participant in the community when, by my count, I have to travel through or touch parts of 11 districts, getting from District 9 to its paired district of, well, let me see if I have the map up right now, its paired district of, what was that, 22? But, hey, with that being said, I think I'm at or beyond 3 minutes.
Well, thank you very much, Senator. Appreciate your hanging in there. I know you've been on the line quite a while, and I'm sure you have plenty to do there. So thank you very much. I believe the next one on OpNet online is Senator Reinbold. Senator, are you with us still?
Yes. This is Senator Laura Reinbold. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Again, I'm also calling from Juneau. We have an extremely busy session, although the media doesn't report out that. And I am a state senator right now for District G, but I'm speaking on behalf of myself at this time. And I would like to let you know that I did spend about 10 years in Huffman. I spent about 15 years in Eagle River. The majority of my life was in Midtown area as growing up. And I've also had a cabin, and my family, two or three members of my family have Girdwood. So I know the area extremely well. I never liked when Representative Hawker was my representative, and he was from South Anchorage, and I'm not sure he ever even singly came to a community council. Map 3B is absolutely ridiculous. That's all I can say, trying to have us paired with Girdwood and Indian Whittier area. So the bottom line is I have been trying to follow this process even amongst extremely busy legislative session. Yes, I followed the lawsuit. I actually thought Judge Matthews did a very good job exposing the gerrymandering in the district, and I believe Map 3B actually makes it much worse. So I am calling in to support 22 and 24 being paired together, although I really appreciate being paired with J-Bear. The 22 and 24 is an option that's available to us right now, so I strongly encourage keeping Eagle River together. We are a very strong community, and I think that is the one that makes the most sense. And the community councils are all, you know, there's about five of them or so in the area. I just think it makes far, far more sense to keep Eagle River together. So with that, I'm going to be supporting map number two. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Senator. That was quick. That was just 2 minutes. So thank you for your brevity and clarity. Nicole?
Thank you very much. This is Nicole Borromeo, and I appreciate your testimony, Senator Reinbold. A couple questions. I don't know, and I don't want to know whether or not you live in District 22 or 24, but if 22 is paired with 9, that representative in the Senate has to travel through 6 or 7 different House districts to reach District 9. And I'm concerned that that is going to run afoul of Article 6, Section 6 of the Constitution that requires us to pair Senate districts as near as practicable into contiguous House districts as possible. If you retain the seat, and you had to travel from your home in Eagle River to District 9 all the way down to Whittier, what is going to be your preferred route of getting there?
Well, I will tell you that there's only a road, and it's a long, I would say it's probably an hour and a half plus the tunnel maybe, so maybe at least 2 hour drive, which is ridiculous. I will tell you, my mother-in-law helped build the Co-Pass Trail, and I'm a huge advocate for the historic Iditarod. You know, you could walk over the trail, but that's ridiculous. The bottom line is, I think it was, you know, driving 2+ hours when we are part of Anchorage Municipality absolutely makes no sense. So I think there would be constitutional issues as well. And I hope that answers your question, but that is a long, long way away. Our children wouldn't be going to schools together, et cetera. And I never thought that map where Geisel had Stuckigan Heights, Girdwood, and part of Eagle River. We never felt representative in Eagle River. So I believe Map 3 will very much hurt Eagle River.
Thank you, Senator.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Next, back to the LIO office is former Representative Lance Pruitt. Lance, are you there? You can join us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, each one of you, for being a part of this process. I know this is an easy process, and we could create perfect maps. Of course, this wouldn't be needed, but I appreciate your time and the public service that you're putting in. I'm here to there's several thoughts that I've had over the course of, and I've watched the process actually from a little bit of a distance. I haven't been watching you guys every single day. But what I will say is that what is the reason I have decided to come in, what kind of compelled me is because I watched the process initially, especially as we dealt with an area for which I used to represent. I should be clear, I had three separate senators over 10 years. I had one senator where our district went west. I had one senator where my district went into Eagle River, or that Senate district went into Eagle River, and then the remaining 6 years, that district went into the Hillside area. And so the initial conversation related to the district that I used to represent and indicated, I've used the former Massachusetts Governor Jerry. His name has been used a lot over the last couple of days. Of course, he's the guy that created Salamander in Massachusetts. But yet, if you look at the district that I came from already, you'd have to make that same argument with just the House district, because why would you go and carve out Nunaka Valley, which has never been a part of that district, when right south of it was an area that was in it, at least when I first represented it, you have the Reflection Lake area. And to argue that East Anchorage was all the same, you can't do that. I think you're kind of, as we go into the conversation today, the same thing applies. What I'm not hearing is a lot of dialogue about Jay Bear and our military personnel. And I think they've been left out of the conversation that I've heard. That's what's compelled me to come in. They do not have enough for their own Senate district, but they are more closely tied to Eagle River and East Anchorage than any other part of Anchorage. As East Anchorage at this point has no longer on the table based on both of the maps, both based on the conversation that we've heard related to trying to pair that District 20 and 21, I believe that you are left with the only option to make sure that our military personnel are taken care of, to make sure that the people that are they're not going to be as engaged in this process, is you're going to have to keep them in the Senate district paired with Eagle River. Eagle River High School would not exist. This is a fact. It would not exist if it were not for our military. It wouldn't be there. There are whole hallways at Chugach High School that are empty. If we did not have the military, Eagle River High School could fit in Chugach High School. You have to tie those two together because they have the closest socioeconomic situation. And then you also have to consider when you're going to put them on the ballot, because we see higher turnout as well from our military. It comes during that time frame when we have a presidential year. So you have to be that's another, I know it's separate, but when you get to that point, I think any district that includes our military, you have to consider when that Senate district comes up. That automatically pairs you with, well, then you do have to put the second Eagle River district somewhere else. And as the court process and the engagement here has said, it can't be East Anchorage. Well, really, your only other option is going to be another district very similar to it that's going to allow for someone from either one of those districts to have just as good of a chance of representing that area. I've heard here said that it's a long ways to drive, that people won't show up. But the reality is that if you only went in and carved a small portion of Eagle River out and paired it with the Hillside or vice versa, you might be able to make that case or that argument. But the fact is you're going to have a whole district that is both in Eagle River as well as in the other, I think you will find that the person that lives in whichever district that is the senator, they will probably spend a lot more time trying to prove to the other district that they are thinking about them. It's what I saw actually with Kathy Diesel when she represented my district. She lived in the hillside, but she spent a lot of time coming to my district because she wanted to make sure they did not feel that way. Why? Because if you don't take that into consideration, you won't be a senator. Because there will be a rejection of you. So I think it's important to as you're looking at these maps, to go back and consider our military. And when you do that, the only one that you compare it with, because you've taken East Anchorage off the table with all of the process, is Eagle River. And then the dominoes start to fall. And so that is what makes a 3D really the only option that you have if you want to consider a key group that I have not heard testify from. It's all been Anchorage-centric. It's all been Eagle River. It's been at the hillside, East Anchorage. But you're probably not going to have those military personnel come here because that's just this isn't going to be on their radar. It's just the reality. So to take care of them, you're going to have to pair them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lance. Nicole, question?
Thank you, Lance, for coming to testify today. As a military spouse, I appreciate your commitment to making sure that JBEAR is heard and the military is heard as well. Unfortunately, that doesn't square with our Constitution. Our Constitution doesn't let us single out one particular member of the community, even if they do represent the military and pair them together. What our Constitution does say when it comes to Senate pairings, which is what we're talking about today, is that each Senate district shall be composed as near as practicable to two contiguous House districts. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, first I would say that the military personnel, because of the fact that they live in there, and I'm not saying that you carve out the personnel, their social economic integration within that community is pretty in-depth. The fact that Eagle River High School would not exist if it weren't for the military personnel, if it weren't for JBEAR there, it shows that they are interconnected, that they are actually tied together. So it's not a carving out and saying that this one group of people should stand above another. It's actually recognizing how much that community is integrated. And with that being said, they are contiguous in terms of the fact that you will find that majority of the people that are in that especially because of the new developments that have taken place on the east side of JBEAR, most of the housing that has been built over the last 10 years has been over in the east side. They are either going to go to school at Bartlett or Eagle River. They're going to go eat at Takotnu, or they're going to go eat out in Eagle River, or they've actually moved out into one of these communities. You have a higher level of the active military service that live in Eagle River. East Anchorage is second in comparison. So the integration between the military that are active, that are on base, as well as where they might live, which may not be where they work, I think that deep integration that they have, because, and at this point, Eagle River, East Anchorage is off the table. It's not a conversation based on I think, what I feel the board is going. You are left then with Eagle River being the closest in proximity as well as the closest in terms of socioeconomic ties as well as just basically integration in terms of where the people not just live, but where they also go to school, where they spend their money, those kinds of things.
For example, sometimes they use the word communities of interest. They would be potentially communities of interest, JBEAR and Eagle River.
Absolutely, they're communities of interest. They are, the only thing that really separates them in some capacity is the fact that there's a big gate there, or there's a big fence there. I mean, someone once actually explained to me that, and this was a military individual that said that their expectation is if someone were to say, hey, Eagle River, we want to shut the school down, that the military would not allow that to happen. That's how closely and tied into that community that they are. They are passionate about that school, that's where they want their kids to go. And so I think it's really important to see that tie and to understand that tie,
yeah,
because they are they're one and the same, essentially, in that sense.
Appreciate that. Nicole and then Melanie.
Thank you very much. just say a matter of comment for the record where he suggested that we consider where the military are in the voting cycle. That is not something that I'm ever going to advocate for. That takes incumbent data into consideration. That brushes up against really impermissible considerations for this board. So while I appreciate your testimony today, I won't be following at least that instruction from you. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind me saying, I don't care about incumbents. I don't care about incumbents. It's not about who and what. What I will say is that the military, if I think whether, and maybe it's not something that's ingrained in the Constitution, but I do think that we do believe that we want to engage people. We want more people to vote. I think that's kind of something that you hear around the United States in general today. If you want to have as many people active and engaged in your election process, then that's when you need to consider the military is engaged during that time frame of the presidential elections. Look at the data. You can look at the data of all of our military facilities, and you can see a considerable decrease in the number of people that participate. I don't know why. I don't want to get into that. But I will say if you want to see as much participation from those individuals that happen to be in those on our military bases throughout the state, that would be why you should consider having the elections during those presidential real cycles.
Hey, thank you. Melanie?
Yes, thank you. I don't think we have any control over when elections are held. That's beyond the scope of our authority here as part of the redistricting board. Lance, so looking at 24 and 22, Eagle River and Eagle River, would you consider those two to be communities of interest? And also, are they contiguous?
They are communities of interest and contiguous, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. Do we have next thing? Joel Hall. I think that's it. Lance, thank you very much. Thank you, Joel, for moving up closer to. We appreciate
you got it,
your attention to detail.
I've been to this room a couple times, you might imagine. First, I want to say thank you for your service. As you know, I've been here since the very beginning, so I've watched you and all of the work and all the time you've dedicated to this important endeavor. I'm sure you're looking forward to this process being over. I know I am. Today we find ourselves debating four Senate seats. As you know, AFFR testified earlier in support of the recently withdrawn Map 1. We too have read what the Superior Court asked you to do. Pair Muldoon, pair Eagle River, then minimally fix what needs to be fixed. So we support the move to withdraw Map 1 and to focus on proposals with a narrower scope, leaving us with 2 and 3D. The court has been very clear as to why we find ourselves here today. An improper pairing broke apart Eagle River with no basis and paired it with other parts of Anchorage that resulted in the dilution of votes and gerrymandering. Unbelievably, the board appears to be giving real consideration to a map that commits the same illegal action. Breaking up Eagle River with no rational explanation to spread its voting power across other districts when mathematically this community is rightfully entitled to 1 Senate seat. I live in this Senate seat, House 24 to be specific. Since the remand, I've listened to contorted explanations attempting to justify the pairing in 3D. None of them stand up to the most basic question. What is more compact, contiguous, and socioeconomically integrated than keeping a community whole? The court has found that Eagle River is a community of interest whose needs can be considered within the context of the larger MOA. So that leads to the debate to one of the other constitutional provisions, contiguity. The dividing line between 22 and 24 is the majority of Eagle River Road, which runs through the heart of Eagle River. Turn left, you're in 24. Turn right, you're in 22. A 13-mile road running from Pizza Man to the Eagle River Nature Center. Neighborhoods on both sides of the road feeding the same elementary schools, the same parks paid for with our local Eagle River Parks assessment, and shopping at the same grocery stores. The contiguity of 2 is clearly better than the contiguity of 3D. You've made some really tough contiguity calls in this process. Valdez springs to mind. a tough challenge requiring all the flexibility that the Constitution has built into it. But this is not a tough call. Eagle River is not a tough call, downtown is not a tough call, and South Anchorage is not a tough call. No flexibility should be needed here. There's a simple, rational, legal, constitutional solution. Testifiers have endeavored to give you rationales to break these communities apart, but the underlying question, constitutional question, still remains. What is more practicably contiguous? It's a relative question. Is 3B more practically contiguous than 2? No, obviously not. Choosing a map that is demonstrably less contiguous brings this board perilously close to running afoul of the exact same issue that brought this map back, brought this map before Judge Matthews into the Supreme Court. I cannot imagine how you'll be able to justify to any judge the passing of 3B when map 2 was on the record. I want to refer back to a previous testifier, Jason, who said, in a perfect world, we would have districts that were side by side by side. Lucky us. The perfect world sits before you. It's called Map 2, with districts that are side by side by side, exactly what the Constitution envisions. No contortions required, no contiguity, sleight of hand, and close one eye and look carefully. I encourage you to adapt Map 2, discharge your duties to the people of Alaska, and be proud of the work that you've done. Thank you again for your service. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Madam President, and we appreciate your participation. I know you and your organization and so many individuals have worked extremely hard on this from the very beginning, probably even before we started. And although we might not agree in all of it, I know I do, and I think all the board members have a tremendous amount of respect for you and your organization and all the people that have put so much time into it. So thank you as well.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we are on the cusp of greatness here if we just are bold enough to get it. Thanks.
Thank you. Mike Edgington is up next. Mike, are you on the line with us?
Hold on. Can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead.
Thanks. Thank you very much. So my name is Mike Edgington. I'm from Girdwood. I also sit on the Girdwood Board of Supervisors, which I've done for the last 5 years. However, I am speaking on behalf of myself as an individual, although, of course, my experience is being colored by that last 5 years of representing my community. When I spoke last Saturday, I testified last Saturday, at the time maps 1, 2, and 3, I think, were under consideration. And my sense, and I think still my sense, is that if we were going to start the process from the beginning, map one, or start the Senate pairing from the beginning, map one is the preferable of the three. But I appreciate now, understand better why that appears to be outside of the remand order. So given the choices of map two and now map 3B, I think without a doubt map two is the far more rational of the choices. I've had various points I was going to make, but honestly other testifiers have done a better job than I would have done. In particular, I had a lot of data I could have discussed that Mr. Wells went into, I think, presented that better than I would have done. So I have a few short points, really just anecdotes. The first one is, I know one of the discussions in communities of interest is how much people travel between them and where you go shopping, etc. I have history set on my Android phone. So I went back and looked at the last 4.5 years of every single place I've been to. And I noticed that in that 4.5 years, I've been to Eagle River exactly once. I think I went to Jitter's Coffee Shop, which is great. And I should go again. But, to do shopping, one occasion in Eagle River. In contrast, areas of South Anchorage, I am at typically weekly, at least biweekly, and often more than one time a week. So clearly, in terms of connectivity, and I think that would be true for probably most of my neighbors here in Girdwood, South Anchorage is very closely aligned, and Eagle River is a distant location that I rarely go to unless there's some specific thing. My second point is I listened to some of the court case in front of Judge Matthews, and I remember, because Girdwood was mentioned, I remember one interaction fairly clearly where there was discussion about what continuity meant or contiguity meant. And I think the example that was being discussed was whether Girdwood could be tied to downtown Anchorage, because there is a connection via Turnagain Arm, effectively via the sea. What I recall is the discussion was while I suppose in the abstract it could be considered contiguous, it would absolutely be a second rank contiguity. They're not in any way really connected, only in a sort of an artificial way. And I think the other example that was actually quoted in that very exchange between your attorney and the judge was the examples where the sea is used for continuity and examples where unpopulated areas of mountains were used as continuity. And obviously that's exactly the situation that people are attempting to justify in Map 3B. There's no population along that border. There's no connectivity at all for much of the year. There's high avalanche risk in the only known trail between those two locations. It just makes no sense. There's no practical way of traveling along that border or about most of the crossings. And my third point was to add a little bit more color to some of the discussion that's been had around the municipality reapportionment process. I think several testifiers supporting Map 3B have pointed out that there was objection to a proposal that included part of the hillside, a smaller population of hillside with Eagle River. That is true later in the process. At the very beginning of the reapportionment process, there were a set of candidate maps, discussion maps, put out by the contractor. And one of those joined South Anchorage, Girdwood, Indian, Turnagain Arm, with Eagle River, where the populations were roughly equivalent. Again, I heard a huge amount of opposition to that from my community. It was not a case where, you know, we in the South Anchorage area in general would be a very small population overall. It was just a disagreement that these two communities are connected in any way. So just a little bit more color on that topic, that the statement, while from other testifiers, while true during part of the process, was not true for the whole process. There was a lot of opposition to examples where it wasn't a large population, a small population joined. And my last comment really is, right. I've heard a lot of things about, you know, this isn't a very easy process. Honestly, it is a very easy process. You have one sensible map in front of you that passes both constitutional muster and, I think, basic common sense, and one which is extremely tortuous, violates many of the principles you're supposed to follow. And all of the justifications I've heard from it just, you know, they're very, very contorted and don't pass basic sort of simplicity or parsimonious tests. So, you know, I appreciate all the work that's been done so far in this process, but I think you have a very easy decision to make now. So I recommend you choose Map 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions? If not, we'll go back off net. Judy Elledge. Good afternoon, hi. Judy.
Good morning once again. Thank you for being here on a beautiful Saturday. It is cold here, so maybe that's good. It's not as bright as it looks outside. But I wanted to call and testify again today because I continue to listen to this testimony, and I have some people. I know that Yarrow keeps saying that there's political organizations representing the side that supports 3B, and I know that both she and Denny that testified during the supported Eagle River and the hillside during the assembly reapportionment. I heard that, and I believe that is documented. And I know Yara's testifying, but please don't be accusing people of things, because I believe you are involved in a legal blog. So it doesn't do any good to start accusing people and why they're testifying. One of the things I did want to say also, when Kathy Geisel was a senator, I assure you Eagle River was represented because I know she attended every meeting that was out there, so that was not true. She made that do. It is the representative's responsibility to get to those communities they represent. They most certainly have to do that in rural Alaska. Once again, I'm going to say the residents of Anchorage and Eagle River, they share a very similar socioeconomic backgrounds. And I keep hearing over and over again that it is not constitutional, because they have to be part of a road system. And I did call a friend that is a very good, I think the best constitutionalist we have in Alaska, and she happens to be an attorney. And nowhere in the Constitution does it say there has to be a transportation corridor. There most certainly is not one in Valdez and other places throughout the state. So that just absolutely cannot be true, and it keeps being repeated and repeated. It said you have to share a geographical link. You don't have to share a road. If that was true, then everybody in rural Alaska, I don't know how they would be represented. So I just keep hearing this over and over about what is constitutional and what is not. You know what? I believe that both of the maps would withstand it. You don't know. We've always, before we were always, Eagle River was always with Muldoon and East Anchorage, and all of a sudden that wasn't constitutional. So I really think it's hard when you say it's, something's not constitutional. I think that just depends on the interpretation of the judge making the decision. So once again, I wanted to call and support 3B. I think it is fair. It has happened before and in the past. It wasn't unconstitutional then. So I hope all of you have a great day, and thanks once again for testifying on a Saturday. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next in the queue, up next, is Lehan Gonzalez. Are you with us online?
Yes. Hi. Am I connected?
Yes, you are. We can hear you fine. Please go ahead.
Hi. Fantastic. My name is Leanne Gonzalez, and I'm a lifelong resident of East Anchorage, calling in support of map number 2. And I hadn't actually planned to testify until I watched yesterday's hearing and saw, frankly, how disrespectfully my neighbors have been treated during and following their testimony. I just wanted to note that public testimony is an opportunity for us, the public, to share our input with the board. And it was pretty intimidating to watch, you know, some of the back and forth with board members and my neighbors who are not subject matter experts being grilled on constitutional law. Anyway, it's a big deal, and we're all taking time to participate in this process because we do care about our communities. So I'm just asking the board to follow not only the Alaska Constitution, but community member requests to keep East Anchorage together, keep downtown, and Eagle River in Eagle River. So again, thank you all so much for your time and your work. I know it's not easy, but again, thank you, and please vote for map number 2.
Thank you, Leigh-Ann, and that's a good reminder to us as board members, too, that people are just citizens calling in to give their opinion, and many don't know the Constitution, don't follow the process closely, but we need to be very respectful always of them, regardless of whether we support them or not, and encourage people to testify and not be intimidated in any way. So it's a good reminder, and thank you. Next, we have Marguerite Leeds.
Good afternoon.
Marguerite, are you still with us?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Please go ahead.
Thank you. And thanks for taking my comment. I'm calling in today because I would like to support option 2 and speak against option 3B. As a longtime resident of Girdwood, option 2 pairs me with South Anchorage and the Hillside, who are people who have similar lived experiences and similar concerns to I, which allows those issues to be fairly represented. Option 3B pairs me and Girdwood with people who have very different concerns, who are demographically very different than I, and live a very different experience. For one example, Eagle River has well-developed infrastructure, whereas Girdwood has underdeveloped critical infrastructure, including police and fire and emergency medical services. Because Eagle River so outnumbers Girdwood, option 3B leaves me unrepresented. Considering other neighborhoods, option two also gives representation to East Anchorage and maintains representation of Eagle River. Option 3B seems to violate the Alaska Supreme Court ruling that Eagle River should not be split, as this represented partisan gerrymandering. Option 3B map would give no representation of my concerns at all, and this may damage my town of Girdwood. Thanks for hearing my comments.
Okay, thank you. And my understanding is that Eric Siebert is also sharing a phone line, Marguerite. Is he there as well?
Yes, Eric Steinfort is also here.
Hi, yeah, this is Eric Steinfort. Yeah, we're sharing a line. Thank you for acknowledging me. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we are, Eric. Please go ahead.
Fantastic. Yeah, great comments from other folks like Marguerite and Mike. I appreciate their time putting in. But, yeah, I just wanted to testify that I am in support of option 2 and against option 3B. It seems really obvious to me what's going on here. Looks like we've got an intent to dilute Girdwood's voting representation, and I do not support that. Sounds like you're making a lot of reasons and special ideas to try to tie things together that that you're just kind of hiding behind. Sounds like some pretty obvious gerrymandering to control the vote. That's all my testimony.
Okay, thank you. Melanie, do you have a question for Eric?
I had a question, but I just wanted people to know I am going to turn my camera off. I'm going to grab a bite to eat, but I'll be listening.
Okay. Thank you, Melanie. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Next, I believe we have Lisa Gentleman.
Hello, this is Lisa Gentleman. Can you hear me?
We can, Lisa. Please
proceed. Thank you. I'm here representing myself, and I'm from Eagle River, and I'm asking you to please support map number 2. I really like the 22 and 24 pairing because I'd like to keep Eagle River together. I've lived on Eagle River Road, a prior testifier mentioned, and I've lived on that road for about 25 years, two different homes, but right off the road. And so the map number 3 just seems to work if we were mountain goats. I really don't want to walk over the mountain back and forth. It's just not efficient. And so it just doesn't make logical sense, that 3B at all. And you as navigators or board members, things like that, I think that you can appeal to logic. It's easier to communicate with our neighbors and help them. And also with our legislator, it's much easier. And I've helped campaign before, and door knocking, it's already hard enough to get people, and our houses are already far enough apart out here in Eagle River because many of us have septics and wells and things like that, and it takes quite a bit of time. And it would make it even more difficult with the hazardous roads. Many of us have had people that we know of that have died on the roads. So there's a safety consideration, and gas prices are really high. And I understand, I used to live in rural Alaska. That is a totally different situation. You fly or boat or, you know, all that. So the Constitution, it starts with con, and con is together. And so you as trying to support our Alaska Constitution, I would hope that you would consider the basic part of con is coming together, and we'd really like to keep our community together. So thank you so much for taking time to listen. It really means a lot to me.
Thank you, Lisa. Much appreciated.
Okay, God bless. Thank you.
Next on.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Next online is Shelley Chapin.
Hello, my name's Shelley Chapin. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I am calling in support of Map 2. You've heard a lot of testimony, or at least I have, while I've been on the line this afternoon that outlined the reasons for that already, so I will not repeat. I would like you to follow the guidelines that were set forth by Judge Matthews and affirmed by the Alaska Supreme Court Map 2 is the constitutional choice. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Shelley. Next is Robert Hockema, and we really appreciate the conciseness of the testimony and people being to the point so that everybody has the chance to testify that wishes. Next is Robert Hockema.
Hi there. Can everybody hear me?
We can, Robert. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Hi, everyone. My name is Robert Hockema. I'm here representing myself. I testified very recently to the redistricting board, and I testified before the Senate and partial House pairings were struck down by the court. I'm calling in today to discuss the debate about pairing the primarily J-Bear, Government Hill, Northeast Muldoon District with Eagle River, which is what is currently presented in Option 3. And a lot of people have called in to kind of debate this, and you know, there were some comments about, you know, the fact that Eagle River's high school would not exist without, you know, J-Bear. And I think kind of at the crux of all of this, what I have a problem with and what a lot of people have a problem with but aren't explicitly discussing is the automatic assumption that J-Bear belongs to Eagle River and vice versa, that because a lot of J-Bear folks share conservative attitudes and because a lot of folks with J-Bear end up moving out to Eagle River, or that a lot of housing development has been built to accommodate J-Bear's population, means that they automatically belong to Eagle River. That is false. J-Bear belongs to all of Anchorage. Folks from J-Bear, people on base, live and play in Anchorage, right? And, you know, people frequently forget that there's two different sides of the base that have completely different social habits and economic behaviors, and that they ought to be more realistically divided between these communities rather than lumped into one giant house district. But that debate has sort of long passed, right? So, you know, folks from the Air Force side of J-Bear are most associated with downtown and Government Hill, right? You go to Subway, you go to Pho Vietnam and Government Hill, you hang out in downtown, you see a lot of military folks, right? Vice versa. You go to the Army side, and if you're in Eagle River, you're going to see a lot of J-Bear folks there. And if you're in Northeast Muldoon, you're going to see a lot of J-Bear folks, though. But even then, that distinction neglects the fact that J-Bear folks live and play in the entirety of Anchorage's municipality writ large, especially south of the Bull. So I just reject this characterization that because we have gotten away with the assumption that J-Bear belongs to Eagle River means that that has to continue, right? People's strongest rebuttal to Map 2 seems to be, well, we've done all of these things in the past, right? 20 years ago, 10 years ago, we got away with these other house districts. So why can't we just do it again, right? I think that's a huge logical fallacy, right? It assumes what has been done in the past must be done in the future, even if that thing was never fair in the very first place, right? So I think the board has a chance to correct a lot of mistakes from the previous map, right? I think they have the chance to rectify a lot of things and to fall prey to the same sorts of tautological arguments and sort of, you know, logical fallacies that assume the past must be the future, I think is a major mistake. When you break down House District 23, right, you're looking at, you know, 56% J-Bear residents, okay, in terms of people's voting age. And then if you break it down even further, you know, Government Hill, downtown represents about 9%. And then Government Hill represents another, you know, 12%. And the Northeast Anchorage represents another 14%. We're disenfranchising the residents, the minority of residents in that district by automatically assuming that they also belong with Eagle River, right? I mean, we're talking about a district, you know, an area within the district, J-Bear, that has such low voter turnout and participation that we're, frankly, I don't think we need to be prioritizing those voters over the people who get disenfranchised by being paired with the community that they have absolutely nothing to do with. So I'm just frustrated that this debate has boiled down to, you know, are we going to give J-Bear to Eagle River, or are we going to do nothing at all to fix this problem, right? I think that debate is broken, and I think it needs to be considered by the board. So that's why I called in. I wanted to make the comments, you know, as someone who comes from a military family, someone who myself has spent a lot of time on base, knows a lot of folks on base. You know, I just am frustrated by this discussion and wanted to add that piece of clarification.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. Next on the line is Corwin Wilkie.
Hi, yeah. My name is Corwin Wilkie. I am a East Anchorage resident, District 21. Forrest Dunbar is my rep. And I just wanted to call in today to voice my support for District Map 2. I think it is the constitutional choice. I think it makes sense to keep communities together, and I think that MAP 3B is an obvious attempt at gerrymandering, and for the far-right conservative element to bolster its support by digging into areas of other communities where they know they have a conservative stronghold. So I think number two is the obvious choice. It makes the most sense. It's the simplest, and it is the constitutional choice. And so that's all I have to say. Thank you very much for taking my comments.
You bet, and thank you, Corwin, for coming forward and testifying and being so concise. We appreciate it. Next in line is Miles Baker.
Hey, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Miles, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you, Chairman.
Go ahead. You're okay. Just a little bit broken up, but go ahead, please, Miles.
Okay. So thanks for taking the time. I'm calling in today in support of MAP 2, keeping District 23 paired with District 17 downtown. I'm calling in for myself. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I've lived and worked all over the state, but spent most of my life in Anchorage, and I feel like I have a very good understanding of the culture and the community of this part of our state. I've lived in the Turnagain neighborhood of West Anchorage, Rabbit Creek Road in South Anchorage, and for the last 6 years, I've been a homeowner in Government Hill, which is a wonderful community that is very much part of downtown Anchorage. As Chairman Binkley knows well, Government Hill is one of the oldest neighborhoods in Anchorage, as part of the original tent city for building of the Alaska Railroad in 1915 here in Ship Creek. So we are a sizable community in Government Hill of individuals who do not live or work on Jay Bear to a large extent and don't have access to Jay Bear. This isn't about doing anything to disenfranchise the military. I'm a veteran. I'm a huge supporter of our military. I understand their importance to the economy of our state and to the general security of the country. But the combination of Elmendorf with Fort Rich and the Jay Bear and the other defense security concerns post 9/11, you know, have significantly limited public access to Jay Bear. And as a consequence, it's simply not realistic to use a purely geographic sort of bird's eye view to develop district boundaries. Residents of Government Hill are in District 23. I live and work downtown. I'm 0.8 miles from my house to my office in downtown. That's a 16-mile drive through downtown Anchorage for me to get to someplace like Jitters and Eagle River. We can't access unless you're retired military, active duty military, or you're a dependent or DOD employee. You can't go through that part of the rest of what would be proposed to be the adjacent House District and Senate District under the other plan. So I'll keep it at that, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the time, and I appreciate all the work you've done and the rest of the group. I know it's been a long haul, and good luck with the rest of your deliberations.
Thank you very much, Miles, and thank you for your service to the military and to the state over many, many decades. It's much appreciated, and yes, indeed, I do know Ship Creek and the Government Hill area well. I've got a great picture of my grandfather's tent city storefront in 1915 down in Ship Creek, and it's what I treasure. So thank you for that. Moving on, next is former Representative Dan Sadler. Dan, are you with us? Not sure if you're off-net or in the LIO office.
Thank you very much. I won't go through the can you hear me now, can you hear me now, because I think you can. Again, for the record, Mr. Chairman, this is Dan Sadler from Eagle River. I would like to add my voice to the many of those who have called this week supporting MAP 3B, and I hope the MAP numbers haven't changed overnight. But The task before you is to remedy the previous Eagle River pairings. And that looks to me like map 3B that pairs districts 922 together in a single Senate district best accomplishes that. And here's why. I guess the standards require that district pairings be socioeconomically and geographically integrated. District 22 includes Eagle River Valley, which encompasses a semi-rural area characterized with people living on or near the Chugach Mountains. District 9, Anchorage, encompasses a semi-rural area also characterized by people living on or near the Chugach Mountains. The standard requires that the Senate pairings be contiguous, and I've heard people say that the distance between districts 9 and 22 are somehow disqualifying. At the risk of being disrespectful, I would remind everybody, Alaska is a big state and Anchorage is a big municipality. House districts and Senate pairings reflect that size and spread. The idea that absence of a single road linking these two districts, 22 and 9, just does not pass muster. We no longer mush our dog teams across the Iditarod Trail that goes to the Chugach Mountains. We now drive cars on our roads, which incidentally, the people in 9 and 22 pay for themselves through their own road service areas as opposed to other parts of Anchorage. The implication that a senator's access to constituents is limited by the short drive does not hold water in the modern age. Senators have access to their constituents by telephone, by mail, by teleconference, like mail, by email, and by the Internet, which they've invented. Even before the age of the Internet, Senate pairings linked Eagle River with South Anchorage. It was appropriate then. It's appropriate now. That's called precedent. The idea that something is no longer good because it's old is just not make sense to me. I want to register my opposition to House to the option 2 that would link 23, which is the green side of Jay Bear, and District 17, which is Government Hill in downtown Anchorage. I represented District 18 in the State House, my first term, which linked these two areas, and I can tell you, members of the board, there are significant differences between the population. They have different lifestyles. You know, one is settled homeowners like Miles Baker just testified versus transient that rotate every couple of years through the base. There's different home ownership factors versus privately owned homes versus government-issued on-base housing. The children these people go to different schools, Ursa Major or Minor versus Government Hill Elementary. And I need to say the idea that there is travel across the base fence is just not accurate. While military personnel can leave base and go to town, citizens cannot get past the armed guards to get on base unless they have a legitimate reasoning, have a pass, or have a sponsor. It is far, far easier, incidentally, to drive from Eagle River to South Anchorage. Option 3B, again, better reflects the common interest between these districts. District 23 has the highest percentage of veterans and a significant number of active duty families. They've got dependent or veteran DOD cards that get them base access, so they go to work on base, they shop at the PX, they go to Elmendorf Hospital for their health care. These people share vocational, cultural, and economic values and be well represented by a single senator. I would offer a couple other – well, I'm not going to go there. I would just say that I would caution anyone against characterizing the motives of board members. I choose to believe that you all operate in good faith. Call me naive, but I do. And by the same token, I would caution board members from inferring any partisan bent on the part of testifiers. That the people who testify are due the same respect and presumption of fairness and nonpartisanship that you yourselves are due. So to summarize, Mr. Chairman, please oppose Map 2 and support Map 3B. And I regret I can't hang on for the cross-examination. I got a flat tire I need to go get to. So thank you. Good afternoon and good luck with your decision. Take care.
Hey, thank you, Representative Sadler. Nicole, go ahead.
Is he still on the line or did he hang up?
Indicated he had to attend to a flat tire alongside the road that he was working on. So I don't think he's online, Nicole.
Okay.
And that is our last testifier, I believe. We're somewhat past 2 o'clock, which is fine. It was great testimony today. Robust, great arguments. I was really impressed that we had such a variety of people coming out and testifying, new people that hadn't been out before as well. So I thought it was very informative, I know, for me today. So I appreciate it. Is there anything else to come before the board or any closing comments from board members? If not, we'll look for a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chair, I'll make that motion, but before we adjourn, can Peter or you notify the public of when our next meeting is? So I make that motion to adjourn, but after, I guess we should do that before
yeah.
we notify.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. What if you could give the public again our schedule next week, Peter?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Our schedule for next week is we're have a meeting notice for Wednesday, April 13th, beginning at 1 p.m. There's a second meeting, April 14th, Thursday, also beginning at 1 p.m.
And in terms of connecting, I know we're going to be doing deliberation. I would suggest maybe, well, we can discuss that beforehand, but I think we should have an opportunity. Well, let's discuss it. Maybe I know we've consistently had public testimony to open the meeting, but we do have a lot of deliberations to get through, and it may be the best to get started on the deliberations, but we can discuss that maybe when we start on Wednesday. Nicole?
Thanks. If you go back to my motion to add these three extra days of public hearings, it was in anticipation of us starting deliberations. So it was my intent that today would be the end of the public hearing portion as to the two options. But after we signal which option we're choosing, then it would be appropriate to open for more public testimony.
Okay, not sure how we'd signal that. I think maybe we could discuss that on Wednesday when we convene exactly what the process is going to be. But for the public's purpose, 1 o'clock on Wednesday and then the 13th, and then again 1 o'clock on Thursday the 14th. Bethany?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just want to check with Peter and others and ensure that we haven't somehow indicated to the public that they will be able to testify on Wednesday. I just want to make sure that I'm not sure what we put out there as far as agendas and that sort of thing. But if we are going to not allow them to testify on Wednesday first thing, we should probably make sure that we haven't already indicated that they will be able to.
That's a good point. Peter, is there an agenda published for Wednesday?
We have not published an agenda. Our sort of default public notice has the dial-in numbers, but there's been no agenda published.
Well, I think to Nicole's point, and I recall that as well, that we looked at this process of testimony being the testimony leading up to beginning our deliberations on the remand, which would be presumably then 1 o'clock on Wednesday to get that process started. But I agree with her, at some point we need to, when we make a decision, allow the public then to comment on what that decision is. Is that your understanding, Nicole and Bethany and Melanie?
It was.
Okay.
With that, I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, is there a second to the motion?
Second.
There's a motion before us and seconded to adjourn for the day. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you very much, board members and staff and the public. Please have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see everybody back together on Wednesday.
And the public written testimony submission portal remains open all weekend.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Your host is exiting the conference.